You're listening to the Wave Express podcast, delivering everything you need to know to stay safe and profitable out on the road.
Welcome to the Wave Express podcast. Today we're going to talk with a veteran driver, Albert Wenger. He's been driving for Wave for a couple years now and has vast experience in trucking and transportation. He has a really good load history as far as the areas of the country that he has seen strictly through RV transport, and he's a valued driver of Wave, and we wanted to give him an opportunity to share some of his experiences and a little bit of how he operates so that he can, one, be successful and make money, and also how he secures his loads and how he drives. So we want to highlight how he drives, how he stays safe in securing his loads and in how he treats other drivers on the road as he's hauling RVs. So welcome, Albert. We appreciate you being here. So let's get started by talking a little bit about your trucking history and your work history, how you got started into the RV industry.
Okay. Good morning, everyone. I got started, basically, I was like the idea of trucking. So finally, I got started probably, say, 25 or 30 years ago. I got started in doing some RVs, and then I got into the semi, and I did semi for probably 15 years. And then from semi, I had a lot of health issues. So I finally got my health issues straightened out, ended up with Lyme's disease, which that's not a factor in this, but we finally got my health issues straightened out. And then from there, I didn't know what I was going to do because I was almost broke because of the health issues. And finally got started with building these little barns in the backyard. Well, like what people have in the backyard. And I got a nice little business going with that. And then a few years ago, I decided, well, I'm going to sell that and go back into trucking RVs again, because there was a lot of places that when I was trucking with the big truck, the semi, I couldn't go and see, I couldn't go into the parks and anything like that. So I decided to get back into the RV. And well, before that, I did some pilot escort services for the oversized loads.
Okay.
And then I decided to go to the back into the campers, because it just I wasn't staying busy, and for me, I got to be busy. I got to be doing something.
Sure.
So then I went. I found out who Wave was because I stopped at a Camping World down in Missouri, and they told me Wave does a lot of their camper deliveries. So that's how I got a hold of Wave. And so I got started with Wave, and I've been here for, I'm not quite sure if it's 3 years or is it 4 years. I'm not quite sure, but either way, I'm enjoying it here because I get to see the country all over the place. I've hit all 48 states, and I'd love to see Alaska yet, but I don't think we have loads going
we
to Alaska.
We haven't had any loads going to Alaska lately. Yeah, yeah. And you did. You started out in August of 2020.
Okay, so that would be a little over 4 years now. So yeah. But yeah, that's on my bucket list yet. I wanna see Alaska, and I'd be happy if I could get a load going to Alaska.
Well, yeah, that would be a long trip.
It would.
But yeah, and Alaska's it sounds crazy, but we've delivered to Alaska before.
Oh, yeah.
I don't know that Wave has, but I know that Horizon has definitely.
Right, right.
Our competitor.
Mm-hmm.
We're in a bit of a co-opetition with Horizon. Although, honestly, we're not so much because Horizon, as you know, they haul factory for the factories.
Mm-hmm.
And Wave hauls for the dealers.
Dealers, yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. So, in that regard,
yeah.
We're really not competitors. But
right.
So, tell me a little bit about your... You mentioned you did some semi-trucking. What type of semi-trucking were you doing?
Well, I started out for a guy in Goshen. He wanted me to come drive his semi. Well, I was a little scared because I hadn't driven a semi before. So I went and got... I had my CDL, but I didn't have air brake CDL.
Okay.
So I had to go get my air brake CDL, which I studied and passed the test. I actually took the test at Horizon.
Okay.
And I was very nervous because I didn't get to practice. I didn't get to practice nothing on that semi. And went in there and drove their truck. And I passed it. Which I had the knowledge, but it was just unfamiliar territory in that truck.
Sure,
you know?
Sure.
But so then my first load... was a wide load.
Okay.
They put me on I guess it was called park models, like a 12-foot wide, like 30-foot long or something, going to Virginia. And, man, was I nervous. But, yeah, it all worked out. I did that for a couple of years for him, and then I did boats for him. And then after that, I bought my own truck. And I was hauling a lot of containers, and then I went to vehicles. I had a 7-car vehicle hauler. And, of course, then after that is when I had health issues.
Sure, sure.
And then, yeah.
And got yourself worked out of that issue.
Yeah.
And that's good. We're glad that you were able to get through that. What changes have you seen in the RV transport that you did 20 years ago versus what you're seeing now in the industry?
Well, for starters, there's a lot, and I guess I'll just say it, there's a lot more crazy people out there. You got to watch so close for somebody cutting you off or somebody...
Right.
You know, just doing stupid stuff. And you're going down the road and somebody cuts you off. And in my early years of trucking, I used to get really mad about stuff like that. I get in a traffic jam. I'd have myself all wound up because I was in a traffic jam. And I remember one day I was coming through Chicago and a driver said something about, I mentioned something about being stuck in this traffic jam and whatever.
On the CB.
And the guy goes, he said, all right, just think about it this way. He said, you can stress yourself out all you want. But he said, at the end of the day, are you going any faster? Are you moving any faster because you're stressing yourself out? No.
You're not moving any faster. No. You're not making any more money.
Exactly.
There is nothing different
about
that run, whether you're sitting in traffic or rolling down the road, than not.
And you just sit there and you think about that. You get yourself all stressed out for nothing because you don't move no faster, but you got yourself all stressed out. And now you're gonna be tired because you're all stressed out, and then you're not alert, and that's not a good thing. So you sit there and relax, and just enjoy the scenery. Just as you move as you can, move along with everybody else, and when you get out of that traffic jam, you're not all tensed up, you're not all stressed out, and that made a big impression on me what that guy said because And I look at it and, you know, it's 100% true, because you gain nothing just stressing yourself out. You gain nothing.
That's right.
So that's one thing to keep in mind is just, and if somebody cuts you off, don't get mad. Just back off and give them room, because what if they had a bad day? Mm-hmm. If they had a bad day and they're angry about something, there's no point in getting all upset about that either, because all you're going to do is, well, I say all you're going to do, you could get yourself in an accident because of something like that.
That's right. Because when you're stressed out and when you're upset, you have a tendency to start hyper-focusing on whatever it is that's, mm-hmm. that's upsetting you. Yeah. And when you're behind the wheel, whether you're stuck in traffic or you're running at 65 mile an hour down the road, it's going to affect your ability to make good decisions.
Yeah. Yeah.
And so you're exactly right when you talk about being stressed out and it affecting how you perceive the world.
Yeah.
And the fact that it is not producing anything positive for you on that drive.
Exactly. So the best thing there again is just relax, back off, give them the room that they think they need.
Sure.
Sometimes it's not just a matter of somebody had a bad day. Sometimes it's just, that's just the way people drive. Some mm-hmm. people drive. It's just, yeah, they're weaving in and out of traffic, and yeah, it's just an accident waiting to happen, and I don't want to be involved in it.
That's a good attitude to have. Honestly, the safety is, and this is kind of cliche, but safety is our top priority. Yeah. We're not in business. If we can't do what we do in a safe manner, we won't be in business very long.
So, exactly.
And that goes from your attitude behind the wheel to that pre-trip inspection that you do on the truck and trailer.
Yeah.
So.
And that's a very important thing, too. You go to your pre-trip. And one of the most important things is, if you know there's something wrong with your truck, even if I could run it for another 10,000 miles, if I know there's, if I have a leak, for instance, I got to fix it because I don't feel comfortable with it. Mm-hmm. If I know there's anything wrong with my truck, I fix it because I don't want to be out there. And for starters, I don't want to be out there on the road and get a DOT inspection. And then I don't pass, because first off, when that happens, it costs me money because I get a ticket. Secondly, I get fined from WAVE, which is a good mm-hmm. thing. And in my opinion, because it makes people more aware of that they need to keep their stuff in shape.
Right.
And well, if and I that, pass it, then I get $100 from WAVE.
There you
That's
go.
Awesome. There you know, go. Think about what you want to do to keep your income where it should be. If you make decisions to not fix your stuff and you get a DOT inspection and you get a ticket, whose fault is it? Ain't nobody's fault but yourself.
That's right.
You know, right. And then you'll be kicking yourself in the butt because now you spend $150, $200 on a ticket from the DOT officer. It costs you, I don't even know what it is, $100 maybe from WAVE mm-hmm. if you don't pass it. So now you got over $200 and you still got to fix your vehicle.
Right.
So now you spend an extra 200 and some dollars or whatever it might be. I don't know what, you know, I guess it all depends what the fine would be. But you spend all that extra money and you still got to fix your vehicle. So why not fix it right from the start?
Right. Well, and one thing that I've always encouraged our drivers to do is to view that pre-trip inspection as you're starting the day out with a DOT inspection, mm-hmm. but you get to do the DOT inspection.
Right.
That's what you're doing on your vehicle, because those are the things that a DOT officer is going to look at is exactly what you should be looking at in your pre-trip inspection.
Yeah.
So, yeah, if you've got a leak, if you've got a bad tire, missing a lug nut, whatever the case may be, you got to get that taken care of before you get going on your trip.
Exactly. And I know there's times when you don't catch it or it's just happens on the road or whatever.
Sure.
Yeah, there's going to be times like that. But if I call it an avoidable, avoidable tickets or avoidable issues when you see it and you don't fix it, that could be avoidable.
Yeah, an unforced error that doesn't need to happen.
Yeah, right.
It's in your control to get it taken care of as a driver. So that's a good point, Albert. Another thing that I in kind of looking through your load history, you have a varied load history. You go to California once in a while. You do Ohio, you know, so you've got a huge variety in the loads that you take. Tell me a little bit about how your decision making when you're selecting your loads.
Well, one decision making that I do is, okay, I might have a week or a couple of days that, oh, well, I want to be home every night, which I don't live but a half an hour from Goshen. So that gives me the opportunity that if I want to take a short load, I can be home every night. And that's the nice thing about living close. You can do that. But another thing I look at is I don't run the southern states very much because of the pay. They're 20 cents a mile cheaper, and unless there's something in a southern state that I want to go see or something that I need to do down there, then I shy away from the southern states, because when I hit the road, I want to be making money. If I ain't gonna make no money, then I might as well sit at home on a recliner. So I look at things from a business standpoint. I look at it. I do occasionally run to the southern states, but for the most part, I look at what the load's paying and
maximizing the benefit from your efforts.
Yeah,
sure. And that makes sense.
It's just I don't know. There's so many variables, you know. Another thing I like to look at when I'm deciding where I want to go is I look at the wind. If I want to go west, I might hold off a day and go somewhere else a day or two, because if I look at the wind and the wind is coming something fierce from the west, but I want to go west, I'll try and book me a load that to where the wind is treating me better going west.
Sure.
You know.
Well, you can get shut down for 2, 3, 4 days due to either wind or if it's in the wintertime.
Yeah, or snow.
Black ice.
Yeah,
they shut
whatever.
They'll shut the highways down to high-profile, lightweight vehicles. That's what we fall into.
Yeah, and it's a good thing to always look at the wind anyway before you go. Because they might have a bad storm. They might be having a bad storm in Iowa or wherever. So it's a good thing to always keep an eye on the wind. But that's another thing I like to use in my planning, when I'm planning my loads, is the wind. It's like yesterday, I thought about going to Minnesota, and then it was really windy up that way. So I decided, well, you know what? I'll go to Streetsboro, huh? Because the wind's on my back going that way.
Yep.
So, and that load paid 5 cents a mile more anyway. So it's, you know, it was just a good business decision, because going the other way, I'd have burned a lot more fuel.
Sure.
So every little bit helps when you're,
Right. Toting. When you do those short runs, there's a myth out there that if a driver does a short run even and they live out of state, they're not in Indiana. They come to Goshen to pick up a load, and we're always encouraging drivers to do a short run because, and I've done this myself, so I know this works. Mm-hmm. But you can pay for your fuel for the long run, or part of, depending upon how long the run is,
yeah,
if you do a short run first.
Mm-hmm.
And right now, that hasn't been a huge issue. We've been able to get those short runs out. Mm-hmm. Pretty regularly and not let them stack up. But when freight starts to be more plentiful, that's when we see the short runs become neglected. Mm-hmm. Out of the thinking that they're not making any money at those. What's your opinion on that?
Well, yeah, I've heard people talk about that too. It's a short run. It only pays $400 and some or $300 and some. Well, the fact of the matter is it pays the same amount per mile. You're just not going as many miles, so of course your dollar amount isn't going to be as high. But then you got to look at this too.
Your total.
If you're doing short runs, if you're doing a run that's under 300 miles, you're not paying that $40 pull-in fee. So that makes a difference too. But you're making the same amount of money if you do a short one. Yeah, you got to hook up again more often if you do a short one.
So it's costing you maybe an hour.
Yeah.
Of time.
But if you got a load that's going to take you 2 or 3 days to get to where you're going, and you want to do a short one before you go, because it somehow it works out on the weekend that you don't have enough time, or you have more time than you should have, why not just do a short one
and take advantage of the logbook,
yeah,
and the time you do have to drive,
right. Sure. And that's talking about logbook, that's another thing that I like to look at when I'm planning my loads. Mm-hmm. Because if I only have 2 days left, or one day, let's say I only have 1 day left on my log. Well, why not do a short one, and then I'm back home, or whatever, you know. Instead of doing a reset before my hours are all used up.
Right.
You know, unless you're somebody that can't run that many hours or whatever, you know, maximize your hours.
That's right.
And,
well, that's a good business decision. You only have 70 hours, so what are you going to do with those 70 hours, and how much money can you make in those 70 hours?
Yeah. Now,
that's a great way to put it, Albert. What are some of your other pre-trip planning exercises that you go through before you take a load? I know for me, I was a little OCD about things. I would check weather. I would have my whole route planned out. I knew where I was going to stop for fuel if I needed to stop for fuel. I knew where I was going to stay that night. It wasn't drive until drive until you run out of hours. It was okay. I'm going to get as close to being out of hours as possible, and know where that spot's going to be. And have a plan for that, so that you have the opportunity to plan that second day. And okay, I deliver on the second day. So when am I gonna deliver? Is it the right time to show up at the dealership? Ultimately, you're calling 24 hours in advance anyway before you deliver. Just letting them know you're coming. They're going to tell you don't come before 10 o'clock because we've got staff meetings and no one's going to be able to check in.
Mm-hmm.
So I wanted all that information before I even went to the yard to hook up and pick up my unit. What are some of the other things that you do? You mentioned checking the weather and getting that around.
That's what I always like to, if I'm going, let's say I'm going to California mm-hmm. or Oregon, the West Coast.
Sure.
If I go out there, I'll have all my stops planned before I leave most of the time. I'll have at least the first stop planned. And then if I don't have them all planned, then that evening I will plan the rest of my stops. But I plan my fuel stops because I check my fuel. That's another thing you got to do is keep an eye on the fuel stops because they're not always the same for your discounts. So you got to keep an eye on your fuel stops because if you can save 10 cents a gallon from one to the other and you get 100 gallon, that's $10.
Right.
It may seem, it's only $10. But if you figure all them $10 up at the end of the year, you're saving, you'd be surprised how much money you save.
Right.
By making sure you get the good fuel prices. And, yeah, that's some of the things that I like to make sure that I get done. But that could be
$100 or $200 a week.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Just by paying attention to those fuel discounts.
Yeah. And then you go, when you go to pick up, you got to make sure that everything is the way it's supposed to be. You got to make sure, for starters, that you have no damage on the trailer. Because if you get to the other end and you have some damage on there and you know you didn't do it, but you missed it when you picked up, you didn't see it, you didn't notice it for whatever reason. So now if you didn't note it when you picked it up, so now it becomes your problem when you're at the other end. So there you go. You could lose your $1,500 security deposit. And you don't want to do that. So you got to look very closely.
Sure.
And, yeah, the fuel, if you can just maximize your discounts.
Sure.
Especially going into California. Everybody knows California is way high. So even if you get to the end of Utah or Nevada, I always fill up and make sure I have enough to get in and out of Colorado. Or not Colorado, California.
Sure.
So that I don't have to buy any fuel there because it's always more expensive.
Yeah, $7 fuel versus $4 fuel or $3.50, the big difference.
Yeah, so looking to make sure we don't have any damages before we leave. And when you're doing that, you want to make double sure that you check your tire pressures on the trailer, because tire pressure is a big factor in having a flat tire. If you're running low pressure on a tire, that lets it heat up, and next thing you know, you have a blowout.
And if you're overinflated,
yeah,
you can have the same result.
Exactly.
One thing that some drivers don't realize is the factories, you're not sure what they're doing with tires.
Yeah.
Whether they're just airing them up, if they've ever checked them, you're probably going to have several different levels of air
in one trailer. Yeah.
So you might have, if you've got four tires, you probably have four different pressures.
Yeah.
And
if they're within a couple pounds, it's okay. But if they're 10 pounds off,
right,
then it's not good.
That's
I always figure if I'm within 5 pounds on the trailer, I'm good. And I never had an issue like that. The only time I had an issue is if you pick something up in the road and it pokes the tire or something like that.
Right.
But that's not something that you can help.
Yep.
But just make sure your tires are within a couple pounds of each other. Of what it's supposed to be.
Right, yeah, read the recommended inflation level on the tire. And each tire is going to, not every unit's going to have the same inflation.
Right. But there's a level. Sticker. There's a sticker on the side of the trailer that tells you exactly what's supposed to be in that tire. And then you should be within just a couple pounds of that.
Right.
And I'm talking 2-3. And you want to make sure your lug nuts are on what they're supposed to be, because I've heard of people losing the whole wheel because the lug nuts wasn't tight and they start to come loose and then it vibrates and wobbles. And the more it does that, next thing you know, you're losing your wheel and tearing everything up. So that's the idea of making sure that your lug nuts are torqued right.
Right. I've had guys tell me that, oh, they do that at the factory. They make sure everything's correct at the factory. Yeah. Well, that would be awesome if that was the case, but
yeah,
oftentimes it's not.
It's not always.
And it's always going to be the last guy that touched the unit. If he didn't check something and it goes wrong, is it really the manufacturer's fault?
Well, not really. We should be checking it before we go.
Right.
I got to check it. I personally got to check mine to have peace of mind when I'm driving down the road. Because if I don't, it's like, but I don't know if that's tight. Because I've found so many, they wasn't finger loose, but they wasn't tight where they should be. I mean, there was many times when I tightened one up more than one round, mm-hmm. you know, and
and you've got to be using your torque wrench, and you have to be torquing those lug nuts to recommended foot pounds of torque.
Yeah,
and if you're not willing to do that and take the time, you're probably going to have some issues down the road at some point. It might not bite you the first time or the second time, but eventually that's going to catch up with
you. Yeah, it will. Oh. And then that's just downtime that you wouldn't have had to have.
That's
right. It's like, take 10 minutes, 5 minutes, probably it only takes 5 minutes, you know, to torque them down before you leave. And if something does go wrong, it could take you hours. If you don't have a spare tire on the trailer, you know, you could be hours, because you never know when it's going to happen. You might be 50 miles from nowhere, and then you have to go get a tire.
Right.
And then it's like, now we got downtime.
Or you're calling a tow truck that might be 4 hours.
Yeah, till he gets there.
Until he gets there. So,
so,
all the pre-trip inspection and all that will, if you do it correctly, it's going to, one, save you time,
mm-hmm.
and two, could earn you $100 if you have a clean DOT inspection during the trip. So,
and you got peace of mind.
Well, yeah.
That peace of mind, if you think about it, if you're sitting there and you think about, but I don't know if that's good or not. I don't know. And then next thing you know, you may not even feel it, but it puts you under stress.
Having confidence needed, that you're driving, you know, a unit and a truck that is tip-top shape, and you know that you've done a thorough inspection.
Yeah.
You drive differently. You have a different mindset while you're on the road.
Exactly.
So, I wanted to come back to what you were saying regarding when you're doing your inspection and picking up your unit. So you're checking for damage or defect, right?
Mm-hmm.
Do you have a process that you go through when you do those inspections? Is it the same process every time, or do you have a different?
Pretty much, yeah. I mean, I'll start on the driver's side. Well, actually, I'll back up to the unit, and then I like to plug it in. Mm-hmm. I turn my lights on.
Before you hook up.
Yeah, before I hook to the truck, I plug it in, get ready to hook up, plug it in, turn my lights on, my four ways before I get out of the truck. And then I walk all the way around the trailer. On my way around, I pick up my keys out of the water heater door, because it just saves time. You're doing a walk around. And I also take my plate. and I put it on that walk around to look if there's anything wrong, because if there's something major wrong, why do I want to spend my time hooking to the trailer? Mm-hmm. But so I do my walk around, make sure my lights work, and look for any kind of damage, put my plate on, get my keys, get my paperwork out of the trailer, and then work myself all the way around. And so now I'm back to the truck. I walked all the way around. I didn't see no damage. So now I'm going to hook up to the trailer. I put my paperwork in the truck, and then so now I'm ready to hook up to the trailer. And so then I continue with that, and then I check. After I get hooked to the trailer, I do my check my tires and do my lug wrench torque or sure. lug wheel torque, whatever. When I get to the yard, the first thing I do is normally I get out and put my signs on, and then I go print my paperwork off, and then from there I go on.
Sure. But, so you got your signs on, you've got your paperwork before you even get in the yard.
Yeah.
That's good.
Because it just, well, for starters, if there's any cameras there, they can see, okay, it's a Wave driver going in.
Right.
If you don't have your sign, then Wave got to wonder, is that one of our drivers or somebody going in to steal something?
Sure.
And so I try to do that.
And if you don't have your signs on, you'll probably get flagged down, and somebody will talk to you and make sure you belong there.
Yeah, yeah. And I've done that already. I've seen somebody in there without the sign on. Who do you drive for? Mm-hmm. And, oh, I forgot to put my sign on.
Right.
You know?
Right.
And I've done that. I've done that too, where I forgot it. But for the most part, that's what I try to do.
Sure.
Yeah. Then once I'm hooked to it and my torque and everything done, I pull out of the spot, because it's normally so close to other trailers you can't take pictures right. So I pull out a spot and take my pictures, and then, of course, if it's dark, I try to get under a light. If there's no light to get under, then I use my headlamp, and of course I got lights on the top of my truck, so I turn them on, but that don't help nothing for the back. But if you turn your flash on your camera, so that helps mm-hmm. in the dark. But I rather pick up in the daytime, but it doesn't always work
sure,
out that way.
Sure, yep.
And but then when you get that done, you got to make sure you're ready to hit the road after you got your pictures taken. You got to make sure you have your logbook up to date and ready to go before you get on the road. And then last but not least, don't forget to do your yard exit when you...
That's right.
When you
go. That's right, you got to do that.
And every now and then I get where it doesn't want to do the yard exit, whether it's the app or whether it's my phone or whatever. And
if you're ever in that situation, unless it's after hours, you can always call in and either call the control room. They can do a yard exit for
right.
you. Or your dispatcher can do that as well.
Oh, the dispatcher can do. Okay.
During the day.
I always called the control room.
That's your best bet.
When it didn't work, I always called the control room. But and then I've had a time or two that I left the yard and I totally forgot to do the yard exit.
Sure.
Never crossed my mind. But then, of course, if you're too far away, then, of course, you got to call in and get it. None of us perfect. So
that's right. We're all dealing with that human condition thing.
Yeah.
Albert, tell me, what is your favorite thing about running the business that you run?
Probably my favorite thing of my business is the fact that if I want to work today, I can. If I don't want to work tomorrow, I don't have to.
There's a freedom in that, isn't
yeah.
there?
I could never go sit in an office and have somebody looking over my shoulder. Mm-hmm. I never could do that. I have worked for other people in the past. I've worked at a pallet shop. You know what that is. You know, I haven't owned a pallet shop, but I was a foreman at a pallet shop, run the pallet shop. But
sure.
it's, I don't know. It's just something different. When you got your own things, you got your own equipment, and you got to take care of your own stuff. And
it means more, doesn't it?
Yeah.
And it does allow you to spread your wings a little bit and make business decisions. Not have someone, like you said, looking over your shoulder.
And I don't look down on anybody that likes to do that. You know, not everybody is. Not everybody likes this. You know, some people want an 8-to-5 job, and that's all they want to do, and that's perfectly fine if that's what somebody wants. But if you get out into the world like this, then you have the opportunity to make your own decisions and you know, basically go and do where you want, you know.
Well, that's what we've seen. Drivers get into this for a couple of reasons. One, they want to either supplement their current income, or they're just looking for another gig that they can add to their list of gig work that they do.
Right, right.
Or they're looking for freedom.
Yeah.
And this platform gives drivers the ability to have that freedom, run their own business, make their own choices.
Yeah.
And all Wave does is kind of facilitate the substrate they do it under, and give them the opportunity to go out and succeed.
Right.
So that's something that we want for all of our drivers is to go out and succeed. And that doesn't mean you have to run a certain number of units a week, a month, a year.
Right.
But it does mean that your success falls under how safe you are. How many DOT inspections have you gone through and been able to come out clean on?
Right.
How many damages do you have? You know, if you're driving safe, that's a success.
Yeah.
And we want to build from one success to the next success in our own businesses. Mm. And Wave wants to see that for every driver.
Yeah.
We really do. That's something that's very important to Wave. And we in most everything that we do, that's what's at the root of it, is making sure that our drivers are succeeding. Our business doesn't succeed if our drivers don't.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. So. And along with the fact of being able to make your own decisions and work when you want to work, comes with, last summer, I've been wanting to go to Glacier National Park. And last summer, we made that happen. You know, you deliver up there somewhere close, and then you go to, you know, whatever park you want.
Sure.
And I'm not going there and spending a week there. I'm going there and spending a day or two, and then I'll move on home. Yeah. And that gives me time to do a reset, and then I'm ready to go again.
There you go.
It's, you know, you go do something fun and something interesting while you're doing your reset. It's awesome. Yeah. You know, it works.
Excellent. Well, Albert, I'm going to wrap this up. One last question for you. Are you ready for the busy season? Because it's coming.
Yeah, I'm ready.
Good.
I liked it the other year when we had almost 1,000 loads on the board. Oh, yeah. Then we can get loads where we can run together. And, yeah, it was awesome. Yeah.
Yep. Well, it's coming, so
yeah.
I hope you're ready for that, and I hope our fleet's ready for it.
Yeah,
the projections are really good for this spring and summer, and we want all of our drivers to take advantage of it while they can.
That sounds good. Yeah. I don't know who all is going to hear this podcast, but if there's any drivers out there that want to get started, when you go to get started, you give give him 1G70, which is my driver number, and then I might get a little bit of credit for it. How about that?
There you go. We do have a referral bonus going on, and you just took advantage of the platform. Excellent. Very sharp business move right there. Albert, thank you so much for being with us today.
Sure thing.
And that's going to wrap it up for the Wave Express podcast. You have a safe day and a great trip.
All right. Everybody out there, have a safe day and be careful.
Thanks, Albert.